And welcome to Moonlight and Meat, the Pagan Folk Podcast. This is the first episode of an ongoing project that is going to bring you all the news and exciting stories and just general conversation about pagan folk and music and medieval fairs and all that good stuff. And I'm not going to be alone in this. I'm here with the wonderful Coon.
Wow. I'm so nervous. Hey, Niklas. Yes, I'm very excited as well. Hello, I'm Coon from a band called Seed, and I've also did some flute thingies on Soberlo, and I've been a very active visitor of all fairs, pagan, medieval, fantasy, and through that, I've had the pleasure to meet a lovely guy called Niklas from Vault Couts, and I think this can be a very cool thing to keep in touch with the whole scene going on in every situation, crisis or not.
Yeah. I think I was so keen on introducing the podcast that I totally forgot to even say my own name, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, that is completely true. That's why I got you, bro. I got you.
Oh, man. Okay, but yeah, I think you already mentioned something very important. Like, this is a cool tool that we want to use to keep the community alive during this time where we actually can't go out and meet on concerts or medieval fairs or many of the awesome festivals that we normally attend or play on. And yeah, this idea has been birthed out of out of an interest of mine in like listening to very niche musical subgenre podcasts that exist. And I was sort of surprised to see that there isn't really one for pagan folk or like for medieval folk or whatever you want to call the whole thing. So I thought this could be a cool thing. And then I thought, oh man, who can I get on board with that? And then I thought of Coon, who I have not met too many times in the flesh, but I think we are truly kindred souls.
Yeah, I think we're very compatible indeed, and I was very honored to be asked for this, and I've always felt sort of a connection to you. There's the saying going, brother from another mother, and then this is like the pagan brother from another band. Well, it doesn't sound so good, does it? But I think
works for me.
Yeah, I think people will know where I'm coming from, and this is going to be something that helps us through tough times, which we're obviously going through right now as bands and entertainers and festival lovers alike. But I hope this initiative will carry on after, even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm into it. So, I think Coon has mentioned already, but we are somewhat qualified, maybe, to talk about the whole thing, because we both play in bands that play pagan folk music and that play on medieval fairs and festivals. So we know the whole scene from that side. But we are also both fans, I think. Otherwise, you don't really get started playing that kind of music, I guess. But yeah, we've been both longtime fans of the bands and of the whole subculture that surrounds it. So this is sort of the reason why this whole thing started.
And yeah. I can only wholeheartedly agree with you that this is... It's crazy sometimes to me when I think about it. It's a very underground scene, but the more you get into it, the more you realize how big it is and how many spirits are connected through this actual medieval fantasy pagan scene. And meeting people like you that are into it as much as I have gotten into it, it's great, and we hope to reach a lot of people that have also realized there is more of us out there.
Yeah, it's crazy sometimes because when you, like, in the summers and the spring, when you play concerts and you, like, go from festival to festival, or medieval fair to medieval fair, and it's like it's the whole world, and there's so many people involved. But sometimes when I meet new people who aren't into, like, that sort of music, and I'll ask them, "Oh, maybe you've heard of that band?" And they're like, "No, I don't. What?" Like, in Germany, we have this Mittelalterlich Fantasiespektakulum, which is like the world's biggest traveling medieval fair or something like that. But I still meet people who've never heard of that, even though it's been, like, a thing for, I don't know, like, over 20 years, and it attracts a lot of visitors. So, yeah, it's weird sometimes.
Yeah, and the Germans are fairly good at advertising all of this stuff. I think we in the Netherlands, we have some great festivals, but we definitely, I think, draw a lot of inspiration from an already very settled and professional, huge, let's not deny it, scene that's going on over there with all your Schlossfesten. And for us, we have some big ones going on, like Castlefest, the Neo Fantasy Fair, and some smaller ones that have sprouted up to be quite a bit bigger, like Imaginarium, and the names are sort of changing all the time, so I'm gonna say Fantasia Fest, but it's probably wrong. I'm going to use the name Gothic Fantasy Fair, but it has already changed. When I got to Germany to my first, and sadly, I have to admit, only MPS, that was the Weihnachtsmarkt, I was blown away with the amount of candles, atmosphere, and mead, let's be frank. It completely blew me away.
Yeah, I think... You talk about it so longingly, like it's because it's a bit sad, because at this point no one knows if we're gonna experience something like that this year, if not, like, with how the situation develops, if it's gonna be possible to be at events, and because we don't know if they're gonna happen.
Yeah, that is. Well, it sort of leaves me speechless, because there are so many perspectives to this whole thing. It's not only artists, storytellers, bands, people selling their beautiful wares, but it's also people longing to go back to one of these festivals. It's the visitors that have also... I'm one of these people that... When I got a new job, I would always say, the first week of August is mine. And I sort of built my year around it. So, and let's please hope that the situation will have gotten slightly better by August, by July, by June, please.
I think it's been crazy to see also how fragile the whole industry or, like, scene is, that so many people depend on it. Like, a lot of people also, like, who work behind the scenes as, you know, as crew, or, like, setting up festivals and doing all the audio and light people who need, like, festivals and concerts to earn their livelihood. It's crazy to see how fragile all of that is, and it's really scary. I think everyone, a lot of people that I know, are very anxious about it. Obviously, me, myself included.
I can totally understand that. I've seen some people. One of these examples is a Dutch band called Paralysis. They're going correct me if I'm wrong, on their first big international tour with the Dolmen involved. And there was a lot of hype going on about it. And just like that, it started evaporating right in front of their eyes. And it might be strange for people not involved in a band as close as that. It actually feels like what you've been working on for a year or years, it's just gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. I think we talked about it when we first got together to talk about this project, that I think both of our bands were also scheduled to do some more recordings for upcoming albums that got cancelled.
Yeah. I started a new job as an archaeologist, and I got my first week off, and that vacation would be topped off with the Fantasy Awards, would have been grand. And just before that, everything above 100 people was cancelled. And after that, obviously, the measures got stricter. And the week after, a consolation to us as a seed was, we're going to be recording at Fika, at least. We're going to record our new album a couple of days straight. We'll sleep over and we'll create something beautiful. And then, well, you can't gather anymore, guys. It's not responsible. So that sort of all went down the drain. And when I was talking to you, it was like, oh yeah, I have a hard time. Isn't it sad? And then I heard your story about your prolonged planned studio excursion as well.
Yeah, we had booked like 10 days of studio near Munich, and at first we were still optimistic that it would happen. Like, even though, you know, we're actually not going to be like a lot of people at the studio, so it's probably going to be fine. But then the first bad indicator was when we had booked like an Airbnb in close proximity to the studio. So the first indicator was that when that got canceled, we were like, oh, okay, well, that sucks, but we can figure something out. So I talked with our producer, and he said, no, like, we can arrange like a sleeping situation. It's gonna be fine. Let's. I'm still up for it if you are up for it. And we're like, yeah, sure. And then, but there came like a point where we couldn't do it any longer, because we're like, no, this is too irresponsible and too dangerous to still pull off.
Yeah. That's a crappy thing as well. If I look back to the conversations that I had, I sent to the producer as well, like, oh no, we're still up to it. We're all feeling fine. Come on, we'll just isolate ourselves. It's going to be fine. And then as every day progressed, it just felt like, oh, we can't be doing this. We can't be doing this. What if we all left the studio and everyone got the virus or whatever. So yeah, sadly, it's interesting and bizarre to me to realize that you and I are just two guys, eh? And you have to realize how many people are going through the same thing. Maybe way more financially dependent on this, and that's a bizarre thing to realize.
Yeah, and even like people who are, I think we both know some musician friends or acquaintances both in Italy and in Spain where the situation is even worse, where they are like really under house arrest, and like, I don't know, where the measurements and the like the amount of people being sick and also dying is much more, much higher than it is here where we are. So that's really, I don't know. I still think that, you know, considering everything that's going on, we still get like the soft end of the whole thing. So that's pretty scary.
Definitely, of course, it's a luxury position to be complaining about not being able to go to the studio if you realize how serious the situation is on a health level. So yes, I definitely agree with you there. So we just have to hope for the best, and I hope sincerely that everyone is blessed with health.
Yes.
And I hope we can keep a weather eye on the horizon.
Where was that coming from?
Well, wasn't that poetic?
I was just confused about the voice, but maybe I don't know.
I even did the motion, like in front, like I put my hand, like. Well, I felt very, very good about it, Niklas.
Okay.
Thank you for undermining my moment here.
I just want to keep it light, Kuhn.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let's not get too heavy on it.
Well, so,
Niklas. But I think one thing that's... Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, it's all fine. Just gave me the perfect donkey bridge, you know, which is a Dutch proverb for a good...
It's the same in German. We have that expression as well.
What do you say?
We say, oh, but maybe we use it differently. We use like we say Eselsbrücke, but we use it like if you remember some like a fact or like something by sort of. I can't even think of an example right now.
No, I get what you mean. I actually used it wrong completely.
Okay.
But we just call it a brücke, a bruggetje.
Yeah.
Let's indeed stay positive, and I think that brings us to great new initiatives that have sprung from this whole situation.
Yeah, that was actually what I was going to get at.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. I took your moment. But I'm keeping
a
weather eye on the horizon for you, so you can do this this new intro.
So now, yeah, we also wanted to talk about like a couple of the cool things that are happening in like the music scene with people not being able to play concerts and everything. Like we have seen a lot of like new initiatives. I think the one that we are most, I don't want to say involved because I actually haven't done anything, is like this this Facebook group of all the like European pagan folk musicians.
The Folk Crisis Collective, you mean?
Yes, which I think was born into existence by one of your band members. Is that correct?
If I am correct, I think, but okay, it's always scary to call names, but I think it was Tim and Sarah at least that were founding members of this thing. And it's I remember the WhatsApp messages on the Seed group. Okay, guys, this really blew up. Whoa, what the hell? It's great. And some great initiatives, Rob van Baarschot also putting in there a cool initiative, Sub for Sub, which was in the end, I digress. Other people making tracks together, webcam sessions, trying to help each other out with how to make money as a musician. Without actually playing your music live. There's apparently lots of ways, but musicians are often very bad at it.
Have you been part of anything of like this whole new wave of online productivity or online working together with other people?
Well, my girlfriend has actually been doing sort of a webcam session with friends for Folk. And then I realized that I was one of the administrators of a page called Pagan Folk, and I realized seeing messages of bands sending, hey, can you promote my band? And I was like, oh, well, I'm not really doing this, don't really have the time, and nor the ambition to be doing this. And I was like, okay, well, this is actually a very good time to be revitalizing social media platforms for bands in an underground scene, because I think lots and lots of people that don't know about this pagan folk or folk scene or medieval folk scene would actually love it. So it would be a cool thing to bring that to the bigger audience that would thrive on it. So that's one thing I've been doing, and I've been sort of fixing my home studio, but no, I've not been changing the world too much.
No, me neither.
Oh,
we're doing this now, though, so that's all the work we need to do, really.
That's actually true.
No, but yeah, I've been meaning to. Oh man, this is like, there are so many cool people in that I would want to collaborate with, but then I don't know. I just sit here and just do stuff by myself because I'm too afraid to do like, oh, to hit people up and be like, oh hey, let's do a thing together.
Yeah. Sorry, it just sounded very funny to me. Where you're like, there's so many cool people to be collaborating with, blah, blah, blah. And then, well, now I just contacted Kuhn. So let's just use this guy. Yeah, well, I'm still grateful. yeah.
And there's also been like a lot of like live streams to a degree that I haven't seen before. It's also apparently something that's very big right now, like bands doing live streams from their homes or sometimes even from like studios or like empty venues. I think very good Swedish pirate folk band Jebenes Privateers did like a release concert in front of no audience and live streamed the whole thing. That's pretty cool.
They got their own empty venue to record in?
Yeah, I think something like that.
I want that.
And they had like super cool stage design and everything.
I want that. I want an empty club with very cool stage design. Okay, Jebenes Privateers, hit me up, Koen van Egmond at Facebook.
I think they're like super. It's like super far up in like North Sweden. I think it's like Umeå.
I can cycle there. It's no problem, man. I just play the flute. I'm worried for the rest of my band members, though. But I'll be there.
I think you're like seed. Seed has a very like slim backline. It's like everyone can carry their instruments by themselves, probably, right?
Okay, if Lars hears you say this for the first time, he'll probably slap you, because he has a ditch, a davul, a baron, a mandolin, a 12-string guitar, a microphone bag, and he's also responsible for the merchandise. So,
okay, so like maybe like slim it down a bit. Do you really need? I don't know, like 12-string guitar. Just take some strings off. It'll be fine.
Well, I think he has 9 or 10 on there, so it's actually takes a lot of the weight off. Oh, by the way, talking about cool live stream things, Jebenes Privateers doing their stuff in an empty venue. Again, hit me up. Yesterday, and I think we might have missed today's version actually because of this. Castlefest Lockdown TV. Did you hear about it?
I think only a bit. I think... no, I don't really. Please.
Okay. So it's basically... there's a whole lot of people that have sadly lost their moment to go to Keltfest, one of the other Vana events they've been doing. And so there were... Femke and Erik sitting in their, I think, living room, I don't know, trying to sort of make a bridge to all the people that were missing out. And they had Parolysis as a guest because they were obviously duped by their tour going, well, so, sort of disappearing. They had Margot Avanat that's been doing a cool quarantine dance event for people to stay in touch with each other, to keep healthy and physical. And so that's another thing that people are actively looking around and saying, what can I do, actually, on top of what I would normally do? I'm not waiting for this festival to happen. No, I can't go to the festival, so what can I do? And that brings up a lot of cool creativity, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think we're gonna see a lot more of that going like onward, and that I think there's probably like, if people are being creative enough, which they usually are, there's probably like a lot of stuff that we'll see in the future. That's very exciting. I must admit that I haven't really watched any of the live streams that people were doing, so I'm really bad in that regard. Have you watched any of the stuff?
Well, the thing is, on top of being quarantined, or maybe being able to go just to work, you still have your own stuff going on, and the thing is that I've been struggling with keeping up your mental health by being cooped up. I mean, you can go for a walk, obviously, but still, it's different. Your whole structure is gone. So another thing that is, for me, and which is on a very personal level, an issue, and that might just be my insecurity, with all the artists and great people that you see online, creating live streams, initiatives, recording stuff, and they have their studios, I'm sometimes like, shite, should I be doing more? Am I actually failing as an artist right now? Which is very personal, and it might just be my stuff, but perhaps some of the people that are listening are going through the same thing. Should I be doing more? If I'm not doing it right now,
I absolutely agree. I think it's great if you, as a band or even like as a solo artist, have the like both the technical capacity and also the mental capacity to go and do stuff like that. But I think it can be sort of stressful that you're thinking, oh shit, I need to come up with something also that is like big and exciting and huge. I think that's not only in regards to music, but also in like for anyone, that only because you are like quarantined or you need to like practice social distancing, there's a lot of pressure on people being like, now is the time to get fit or like to learn like languages or like pick up a new productive hobby and just educate yourself and all of that stuff. When in reality, it's like super, the world is stressful just in general, but right now there is so much uncertainty going around that weighs on you. So I think it's very understandable if people are like, no, I don't have the strength or the energy to, on top of doing the everyday stuff that I need to do, to then also put on like 50% extra energy to do stuff like that. And I think it can even be like a bit dangerous to feel like you are missing out on something in that regard.
Yeah. I would also like to use this medium perhaps to tell everyone that if you're not doing this, and I'm also talking to myself, it's okay. There's no pressure to create something cool or create something, a very fitting word to go with online and the current situation. You don't have to be viral. You're not successful in life just when you have made something that a lot of anonymous people go wild on. It's fine, and people are dealing with a lot of stuff, you probably included. Maybe a loved one has fallen ill or is in the risk category, the whole Facebook timeline thing doesn't take that into regard. It just puts up the most, the coolest stuff that's out there, the coolest initiatives, but it doesn't mean that that is life at the moment. It's fine. It's fine if you use this time, and I personally am using it to delve deeper into meditation and mindfulness and not really care about having to put something out there. It's cool if you want to do it, but you don't have to do it to be happy. And I think that's very important. I hope that message sinks in.
To the millions of people listening to this.
Yes, millions. Billions even. I mean,
millions. Hopefully, at least we're not talking to the void of hopefully. That'll be a good start.
My cats will be listening. I will force my parents-in-law. I will force my parents, probably.
And we have one listener right now, even.
Yes, my girlfriend. So
a very cheeky.
In that regard, I've already made it.
Yeah. But I just thought it could also be. I mean, we might be preaching to the choir a bit here, talking about music and basically saying like, oh, there's this thing called pagan folk. Haven't you heard of it? Because mostly people listening to this already have like an idea of what that is. But I thought it still could be fun to talk a bit about like maybe music, especially like folk music or like medieval pagan folk, whatever music that is maybe nice to listen to in these times, or like albums that you've been meaning to get into, or so maybe we can throw out some recommendations to what people should or could be listening right now.
Holy damn, man, you're putting me on the spot. Well, a personal favorite for me, if someone asks me what I've listened to, insert any band, let's say I've listened to Faun, I'm interested in something that remotely resembles their music, so folk instruments basically, I always go for Viralai or Asinje. They're great people, great musicians, and it's, I don't know, it's just fairy tale laden music to me. It's great.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. like one folk band that I've been listening to a lot recently is actually an Irish folk band. They're called Lancome. I think they used to be called Lynched, and they late last year they released their third album, The Livelong Day. And basically my personal folk journey, or like getting into that kind of stuff, started with Irish folk music, because I think that's like what is like, at least in Europe, is like the most famous type of folk music, I guess. So I started with Irish folk music, and then for a couple of years now I was sort of over that, because there's a lot of Irish folk out there that's very like a bit too squeaky clean and a bit too cheesy and happy. So I was very excited when I got recommended this band, Lancome, because they play like a very slow and heavy type of Irish folk, and very sad and melancholic. And they use a lot of drones. I think they have a lot of what's called harmonium and stuff like that to create very layered drones. And then they have all of them sing there for people, and they both play traditionals and their own songs. And for example, they have the first song on their new album is like a 10-minute version of The Wild Rover.
Wow.
Which is such an overplayed song, but in their version it's very intense, and it's very worth listening to. So I'm going to recommend that. All their albums are great, but I think their newest one is especially great. It's super cool. droney, okay. Folk, atmospheric.
So Lancome, can you spell it?
Lankum.
Look, I would have gone Lankolm, Lancome. But okay, so it's a good thing I asked. Yeah. Okay,
isn't
cool.
Like isn't that like the hair thing?
That's L'Oreal.
No, isn't like Lancome like something? Anyway, doesn't matter.
It's probably more your expertise than mine since I cut off my long hair. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, actually an interesting thing that you were talking about Wild Rover. Normally I would say if somebody plays Wild Rover, okay, cool, I know that song. But it's always very cool to me if a band sort of, well, reinvents a traditional song that you could normally completely dream or make up in your sleep, if you know what I mean. So it's cool. I'm definitely going to check them out.
There's also like a music video out for that that's super psychedelic. So the version of that song is a bit shorter, but it really works well together with the visuals.
Cool. Very sensitive to psychedelic stuff, and that's why I stay away from drugs. No worries, guys. If you want to do drugs, you're fine. But I can't do it. I always get heart palpitations or whatever you call it. Even well, let's not talk about drugs, guys. Drugs are bad. Okay.
No, actually, and is sort of the plans going forward that we have for this little project, like talk about things that we want to do and things that we want to talk about, and I'm just gonna throw a couple ideas out, and the thing is, this is also for you, the audience, because this is sort of all about the subculture, the scene that we're a part of, and so it's valuable to get some information and some suggestions from
wait,
people.
Wait. Wasn't this a one-time thing, Nicholas?
No,
I
you're trapped
you,
now.
You paid me, and then I would do a one-time thing.
Yeah, I paid you once, but you should have read the contract better, because this is now like
fuck, I shouldn't
you've bound, you've bound your immortal soul to me now.
Okay, guys, join me, please.
So, yeah, but basically, I wanted, I think we should look to the people making the music or just listening to being just fans of the music to sort of topics that they also want to talk about. Because I think definitely we also in the future are open to having guests on the podcast. Because we know some musicians or people in the business personally, so that we could get them on and talk about their experiences, not only like with the current situation, but just generally speaking, to sort of get their insight on the creative process, on playing live, and on all like, doing all that stuff that you do. So that's something that I'm very excited about, because that's also something. I'm very into like music journalism, and reading interviews or watching interviews is always one of the best things. So I'd be happy to have some people on here to elaborate a bit more about their whole musical world.
Yeah, that sounds good. And on top of that, I would also love when I play Dungeons and Dragons, I'm always a paladin. I'm a man of the people. It would actually be interesting as well. I just came up with this just now to maybe get some festival visitors. What makes the perfect festival? Why is this festival your favorite? What should really be there? What are you looking for in a band, musical wise? When are you really happy about a band? I remember seeing Irfan. For example, for the first time, and I was like, whoa, does this even exist? Do people go there for the bands? Do people go there for the food? Yeah, so also a bit of a festival thing going on there.
Yeah. And I also something that sort of, maybe it's a bit too self-indulgent, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there, is to talk about like iconic albums, because like medieval pagan folk music has been around for, I mean, not for super long, but for some time now, that I think you do have some sort of a lineage, that you have bands that are influenced more by one band, and then a different band will be more influenced by another band that came very early on in the genre. And I think you can, oftentimes you can definitely hear these influences. So it'll be interesting to sort of go back and to look at albums that we find are iconic and talk about them, like try and do some research even maybe, and portray this album and like shine a bit of a light on them, even though most people probably know them very well. But I'd be interested just to even hear your opinion on some of the albums in the genre that I absolutely love.
Well, definitely, man. I'm already going down a trip to memory lane, just you saying that, thinking of my older albums. And I remember my brother did in Dutch a profielwerkstuk, his final thing for high school, on metal. He called it Metal Up Your Ass, and he did like a spread diagram of all the different metal genres. I think there's like you said, a lot of different branches of folk and influences going around. So it could definitely be very interesting to analyze that a little and see where you and me got hooked, which path we went down, which path other musicians went down. Maybe they used, I don't know, Jethro Tull from a completely different genre to get where they are now. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
I mean, I think like the Jethro Tull influences in Seed are quite obvious.
I've never heard of that, dude. I don't know.
I know like two songs.
Yeah, I think there is something like We Are the Champions and Bohemian Rhapsody from Jethro Tull that I know, and that's it.
Coon. Yeah. Come on.
What?
Come on.
Yes.
I can see your face, but don't try to fool the people like that.
That was completely serious, of course. Yes, I completely know all of his songs. No, I've definitely been keeping an eye on him. And he's definitely an inspiration. You caught me there. What gave it away? The me singing through my flute. Okay.
No. That's just a couple of things that we were thinking about doing with this little project. So currently the idea is also to do this once a week. We don't have a set release date yet, I think, as at least, or do we? I think we talked about that.
I don't know. Right? What is a good day? I don't know.
Currently, no, none.
None, or every day.
Or every day. Seize the moment, man.
Yeah, man. Just
carpe that diem.
Carpe the diem, man. Good.
Okay, let's get off that hippie shit. For a moment.
Yeah, because Latin is super hippie, Niklas.
No, I mean, like, but saying carpe diem,
well,
come on.
Yeah, well, it's still super Roman. And, you know, they were pretty intense, you know. But, all right,
let's not go there.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, we're going to try to do this once a week. Because currently we do have the time to do that, and we think it could be fun to have this once a week, maybe listening to it while you're taking one of your short trips outside, taking a little walk, or maybe doing some cooking. I always listen to a lot of podcasts while I cook, actually. So something like that. So we're going to do it once a week, and I think with that, I have managed to say most of the things that I wanted to say.
Okay, well, so this was the first part of the podcast. Now my part comes, so stand by for another 45 minutes. No, I'm kidding. I think I think I'm just excited to get this on the road, and I'm mostly excited about getting this whole audience participation thing going on, artists, stand holders. Well, that's very Dutch. Market salesmen and just get it all rolling, and I hope this is something that people can enjoy. And I'm also a big podcast listener when I'm, don't let my boss hear it, when I'm working I listen to Dungeons and Dragons podcasts. Okay, don't tell anyone. I'm very excited to get this stuff going, and Moonlight and Mead, the yes. Pagan Folk Podcast. Sounds very good, doesn't it?
See you all next time.